All right, we've heard the second bell, and people downstairs can come as they wish, but we're privileged again to have Dr. Peach with us for Bible class here. We have probably about 30 to 40 minutes, so it's not a long class. It's a Bible class with Luther, six important things to learn about Luther's reading and benefiting from God's Word. So let me pray, and then we'll get started. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless this time of study as we gather together to consider both your holy word and the things that Martin Luther gained from it. We pray that you would bless us and the Dr. Teach as he teaches, and that we would all be blessed through this time. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Pastor. As Pastor Gregory mentioned in the introduction to the service, I'm a professor at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and we professors, we all have our own hobby horse. We have our own research area that we focus on, which we often write on, and which we often teach on. And my focus area is on Martin Luther as a pastoral theologian. And this is one of the amazing things about our legacy and our heritage as Lutherans. It's not that we glorify Luther, he was just a man. But we learn from what God did through him as a humble man. And we receive some of the insights which he has handed down to us. As you know, Luther, as the reformer of the Christian faith, the biggest contribution that he made as a reformer was that he translated the Bible from the Latin into the language of everyday people. In his case, into German. He started that in 1521 when he was in hiding from the Pope and the Emperor who wanted to kill him after the Diet of Worms. He said, I'm stuck here in Castle Wartburg by myself. What can I do? I should do something useful. I think I'll translate the New Testament from Greek into German. So with no dictionaries or lexicons or other aids, he just set about doing that. Luther was gifted with a wonderful mind, and he was a very able linguist, so he could do that. In 1534, he and many other reformers did a whole translation into German of the whole Bible. And there's a beautiful story that it took people a long time to have this idea that they could read the Bible. Even Luther's own wife, Katie, who had been a nun in her youth, she thought, well, I shouldn't be reading the Bible. I'm a woman. Oh, dear. Luther said, darling, you need to read God's Word. Every Christian of every age needs to read God's Word. And she said, oh, look, I couldn't possibly. And he said, if you read this Bible that I've just translated, I will give you 50 guilders. And she said, deal. So she read the Bible. She gained greatly from it. And she got 50 guilders out of it as well. So this is Luther's biggest contribution. He translated the Bible into the language of the common people. And this is one of the things that drove the Reformation movement. It got people reading Scripture so that they could understand what was in it, so they could understand the gospel that they heard on Sunday morning, and so that they could pray, understand what was going on. They could also read and teach the catechism to their children. In 1525, Luther wrote to all of the Protestant Lutheran princes in Germany, and he said, you need to open schools in your major cities so that children can learn to read. Learn to read what specifically? The Scriptures. So this was the education movement in the modern Western world, in some ways, received a big shot in the arm through Luther's translation of the Bible. Luther said a really interesting thing. He said, every Christian, from the little 3-year-old who says amen at the end of the prayers, So the oldest, wisest Christian in the congregation is a theologian. We are all theologians. We are all people who are students of God's Word. And so it's very important. Every Christian is and needs to be a student of God's Word. He has some great wisdom, Luther, on how to read the Bible, on how to study the Bible, and on what happens when we do read the Bible. Luther's first encounter with the Bible was when he was a monk back in the Augustinian monastery, and he went into the library one day, and there was this big red book chained up to the lectern there. And he said to the librarian, "Is that the Bible?" And the librarian says, "Yes, it is." And so he was allowed to read the Bible. The first book of the Bible that Luther read was 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. And he read 2 Samuel. Then he read the rest of the Old Testament. Then he started reading the book of Romans. He read and he read and he read. And he fell in love with Scripture because the Holy Spirit started working in his heart and moving him towards the vocation that he had for him. So, if we were had Luther here today, what would Bible class be like with him? Well, first of all, Luther's way of studying the Bible is very practical. He doesn't go to the Bible and say, "All right, well, this Bible gives us all sorts of ideas and theories and stuff like that." No, he would say, "The Bible speaks right into life. We don't have to process it or put it through some kind of a meat grinder and make sausage out of it. The Bible speaks directly into life." You see that every Sunday in the preaching of your pastor. The Bible helps you in life. The Bible speaks to you in your needs, in your relationships, and your troubles, in your doubts, and in all kinds of ways. Speaks to you in your joys too. And the Bible can do this. The Bible is practical. It shows you what God has done for you, and it shows you what you need to be getting on with yourself in your life as a Christian. And so Luther's way of studying the Bible is personal and life-related. It has to do with you in your life, specifically with your vocations. Each one of us has got these vocations from God, these roles that we have. Mother, father, son, daughter, brother, sister, citizen, employee, church member, pastor. Whatever it is that we have in life, whether it's those big vocations that make up our occupation, or whether it's the small vocations. You know, the lady who played the organ for us this morning is performing a beautiful service to us. That's her vocation in the community of God, in the church. What's your vocation in the church? Be good to think about that. The Bible speaks to you, equips you, and strengthens you for those roles you're going to play. Not only here in the church, of course, but also in life generally, in the world, in the community, in your relationships there. So, Luther, when he reads the Bible, is also expectant. God does things. God acts when he speaks. When God says it, it happens. God's word says what it does and does what it says. And so when you start working with the word of God, the word of God starts working on you. You know, I tell my preaching students, you open up the Bible and you say, look at this text. I'm going to work on this text. I'm going to squeeze this text like an orange and get all the juice out of it. I'm going to really get into this and I'm going to get something out of it. I said, you've got this all upside down. You think you interpret the text? No. The text interprets you. You think you search the Word of God? Well, on some level, yes, you do. More importantly, though, God's Word searches you and your heart. You think you're going to take God's Word and apply it over here and do this and do that? No, God's going to apply His Word to your life and make you His servant. And so God is the one who's acting through His Word. The last thing to say here is that Luther's view of Scripture is that it is our final authority. We can depend on it. That's what it means. If you hear the word used in the church, authority, that word authority, it means you can depend on it. It means that it has something to it which is not vanity and mist, like we were saying this morning, but sure, reliable. It has auctoritas. It has substance to it. The world is full of false authority. Your culture, our culture here in the US, is full of false paths, false promises, fake truth everywhere. And fake truth about marriage, about sexuality, about wealth, about priorities. We live in a culture where Satan is running amok, pasting up his posters everywhere of false authority. And Luther says, no, if you want to know the truth, if you want to find something that's real, go back to God's Word. That's the place you can find it. So this morning, what I've got is a few, really, I've got some Luther quotes that I wanted to share with you. And we might not go through all of them and get through all of them. That doesn't matter, but we'll just do what we can. So Luther says, Scripture is above all books. In 1539, his publishers said to him, we want to publish your collected works in German so that German readers all through Germany can look at your works and gain from your work. And we want you to write a preface to it. And it's one of the most useful things Luther ever wrote, because he said in this preface to his own works, he said, don't read my works, read the Bible. That's worth it. He said, read this preface, but then go back to the Bible. Because the Bible is the book above all other books. It's the truth. Let me just read this out to you. You should know that the Scriptures constitute a book which turns all the other wisdom of all other books into foolishness, because not one of them teaches about eternal life, only this one. Therefore, you should immediately despair of your own reason or understanding. You will not find eternal life through them. On the contrary, your presumptuousness will only toss you and others out of heaven and plunge you into the abyss of hell, like Lucifer. It's another angle on what we heard in the readings today. So, even when God's word seems to contradict the wisdom of the world that everybody else in our society is taking on board and just believing and taking on board in their own hearts and minds, even when God's word contradicts everything we see around us, it is still truth above all other truth. If you think of the ideologies that are wreaking havoc in Western society today, none of them will deal with the problem of death. None of them will give us eternal life. The only book that does that is the Scriptures. They tell us about Christ and his death and resurrection for us so that we can have eternal life. And so this is a book above all other books. He says, despair of your own reason. Now, that doesn't mean that our minds, we should check our minds in at the door when we come to church. What that means is despair of your own reason as the source and methodology for helping you to find real truth. That's the thing, that's an earthly thing, not a heavenly thing. Look at heavenly things, Paul says. Look at God's word. And if your own reason is at odds with God's word, trust God's word. In theology, we have this saying, we say that your reason, your ability to think and to work things out yourself, is a gift that God's given you through his creation that's to be, not to be used in a magisterial way, that is, as the master of everything, but is to be used in a diaconal way, as a servant. Our reason is a servant. It allows us to read, to hear, to listen and understand God's word. So that's one of the first things Luther says. That's a picture of him there. Somebody drew in the 19th century, supposedly of him finding the Bible for the first time. The other really important thing is that all of Scripture is interconnected and self-interpretive. So did you notice with the readings this morning how you had the three readings? Okay, you had that reading from the wisdom literature from Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. And then you had the second reading, the epistle reading from Colossians. And then you had the gospel reading, the words of Jesus himself from Luke. And all of these three readings all kind of pulled together into a whole. They had the same theme, the same truth, all spoken from a different angle, but it was the same thing, all driving in the same direction. That's what the Bible is like. You have the Old Testament prophets who point forward to the fulfillment of everything in Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, you have Paul writing about how the whole Christian life really points you in the same direction to Jesus. So the whole Bible is networked together around Jesus Christ and the events of his death and resurrection. And so when you read the Bible, notice the connections. If you've got a study Bible or a Lutheran study Bible, I think that's a really great resource. You can use the chain referencing and the notes there that will help you to understand the way the Bible holds together. It's not just a library of one thing after another, of different stuff, and it's all kind of just like thrown in a bag. No, the Holy Spirit put together the canon of Scripture into a networked whole that shows you the truth that you need to know for salvation. And the central truth is Jesus Christ. And the Bible is networked in that way. So, another very important thing. Let me just read the quote here. Now, to strengthen this faith, God has promised this gospel and testament in many ways. By the prophets of the Old Testament, as St. Paul says in Romans 1, I am set apart to preach the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David, etc. So Luther is saying, here it is, the Old Testament. 2 Samuel chapter 7, God makes a promise to King David. He says, your descendant will sit on the throne and reign forever. Who's the son of David? Jesus. That promise is refilled and fulfilled through Jesus Christ. The scriptures are rich and deeply networked together. So the other thing, very practical, important thing about studying the Bible, which was really nicely modelled by Pastor a few moments ago, is that pray. Pray before, during, and after studying God's word. The Christian life, like the Bible, is a whole. It's not that we have prayer here, the Bible here, going to church there, Holy Communion there, good works and servants, service to our neighbour over here, like sort of unconnected points on a map. The whole Christian life, like the Bible, is centred in and networked together around Jesus Christ. When we pray, that leads us on to all the other things that we need to do in our Christian life. We need to receive. When we read God's word, we also need to ask for God's help as we do so. I want you to just listen to this quote. Luther says, "Rather kneel down in your room and pray to God with real humility and earnestness that he, through his dear Son, may give you his Holy Spirit. Also see how David keeps praying in the above-mentioned Psalm, Psalm 119. Teach me, Lord, instruct me, and lead me, show me, and many more words like these. Although we well knew and daily heard, he well knew and daily heard the texts of Moses and other books besides, still, he wants to lay hold of the real teacher of the scriptures himself, that he may not seize upon them any old how with his reason and so become his own teacher. For such practice gives rise to factious spirits who allow themselves to nurture the delusion that the scriptures are subject to them and can be easily grasped with their reason as if they were Markov's legends or Aesop's fables, for which no Holy Spirit and prayers are needed." Human wisdom, remember, what role does it play? Does it play the role of the master? It plays the role of the servant. Human reason cannot show you what's in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is the one who takes your mind, your heart, your conscience, your understanding, and enlightens them as you read the Bible. You need to pray for the Holy Spirit as you open the scriptures. As you get together to study the Bible, you need, as we did a few moments ago, pray for God's blessing, for his enlightenment as you study the Bible. We say in the Lutheran tradition, others too, we often say that the Bible is in the inspired word of God. It's interesting. What that really means is that it is the inspirited word of God. When we read it, the Holy Spirit starts work on us. He is in it. He's there. He's in the words of Scripture speaking to us as we begin to read and as we begin to listen. So, Bible study leads you to prayer. Prayer and Bible study together lead you to service. Okay, the Word of God leads you to the divine service where you are served by God, as we were this morning. Pray, very important. I'm going to move on to a couple of slides on. The other thing Luther says to people reading the Bible is read, reread, reflect. Sorry, read, reread, repeat. Reflect. He calls this meditatio or meditation. Let me just read this quote to you. Secondly, he says, you should meditate. That is, not only in your heart, but also externally, by actually repeating what you read aloud, comparing oral speech to the actual words on the page, reading and rereading them with persistent attention and reflection so that you may see what the Holy Spirit means by them. And be careful that you do not get weary or start to think that you have done enough when you have only read, heard, or spoken them once or twice. Then thinking that you understand them completely. You will never be much of a theologian if you do that. You will be ultimately you will be like untimely fruit that falls to the ground before it is half ripe. This you see in the same psalm, Psalm 119, that David constantly boasts that he will talk, meditate, speak, sing, hear, read, by day and by night, constantly, about nothing else than God's word and commandments. For God will not give you his spirit without the external word. So take your cue from that. God's command to write, preach, read, hear, sing, speak is not given lightly. So did you notice? He says, you don't just read it once. You need to read it repeatedly. When I'm studying with my students at the seminary, we very often start the lecture with a biblical text. And I will say, I want somebody to read it aloud. So we read it aloud. And then I say, I want you to then now read it silently. And then the third part is, then I want you to pray this text and figure out how you're going to do that. And then I want you to talk to your neighbour sitting next to you about this text. That is meditating. We don't think of meditating. We think of meditating today as sitting on the ground with your legs crossed, maybe. What Luther means is that you meditate aloud. You read it aloud. Reading the Bible aloud is a great thing to do, even when you're by yourself. It's the way in which we speak out that word, we hear it, and it gets to our heart and our conscience. He says this also because when you read the actual words of the text, you don't float off into speculating and theorizing. You pay attention to what's being said there in the text. Get back to the text. Go back to the words of Scripture. The words of Scripture are those words that are inspired for you to read and receive. This thing he says about, if you don't do that, you'll be like fruit that falls to the ground before it's half ripe. Not many people realise that Luther was a bit of an orchard expert. That was one of his hobbies. And he knew that the fruit that falls to the ground before it's half ripe, the stone fruit and other seed fruit that he grew in Germany, was the fruit that had not been pollinated. And so it was sterile. And it would fall because the tree would say, this fruit is not worth anything. It's not going to reproduce anything. It's sterile. It has no power, no creative power in it. So that bad fruit falls to the ground. And so this is the image here. When we let the word of God pollinate us, soak into us, change our thinking, change our attitudes and our hearts, that's when it will bear fruit. And so we need to slow down. In our modern world of everything being fast, 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 you know, the commercials go past you so fast on TV. You know, when I first arrived here in America, I couldn't even figure out what these products were for the first 6 months because they just went so fast. No, slow down. Receive that word, reflect, repeat, meditate. Very important. How much longer have we got, Pastor Gregory? 10 minutes? Okay. On we go, on we go. All right. But when you do this, when you pray for the Spirit to show you the truth in the Word, and then when you meditate on the Word and you dwell in those words and they begin to pollinate you, look out. Because somebody else is watching this process. The devil won't like it. Luther is following this idea from the medieval theologians that first you pray, then you contemplate, then you meditate, then you go up onto a heavenly plane where you commune with Christ. Luther says, no, it doesn't work like that. You pray, God leads you into his word, and then you go to difficulty and affliction. It's the unexpected pathway when you want to open God's word and read it. He calls it tentatio, being tested. Let me read what he says here. You can see how David in the psalm complains about all the enemies, arrogant princes or tyrants, false spirits and factions that he has to put up with because he meditates. That is, he is occupied with God's word in the ways mentioned above. For as soon as God's word takes root and grows in you, the devil will hammer you and make you a real doctor of theology through his attacks on you. So teaching you to seek and love God's word even more. I myself, if you will permit me, mere mouse poop to be mingled with pepper, am deeply indebted to my papists that through the devil's raging, they have beaten, distressed and oppressed me so much. That is to say, they have made a fairly good theologian out of me. So Luther's talking humorously here too, but when you find Luther talking humorously, you know he's always making a serious and important point. He's saying that God allows the devil to do this because it drives us back to pray and into the scriptures and to read and meditate on them even more. And that's the way in which even the devil has to serve God's plan and God's ends. He says the devil makes a doctor of theology out of you. That is, he shows you the very reality and truth of how vital and life-giving God's word is and how much you need it. So, interesting, he uses this word here to describe the devil's attack on you. He uses this German word. I wonder if you've ever heard it before. It's a great thing every Lutheran should know. It's the word Anfechtung. Put your hand up if you've heard that word before. Ah, very good. Let's just all say it together. Anfechtung. Anfechtung. You are real Lutherans. No, I'm kind of joking, but there's a lot of serious truth to this. That this word comes from fence, the German word fechten, which means to fence or sword fight. That's what happens. The devil thrusts at us. He hates God's word, and he will use our flesh, our weaknesses, our anxieties, all of the things that he can to take us away from God's word and to make us think that Christ is not our Lord, that he hasn't saved us, that our sins haven't been forgiven, that they're still upon us, and that we are unjustified and that we are lost. The devil wants to sell us that lie above all other lies. And yet, what happens is that we are ultimately not in his hands, we're in God's hands. And he leads us back to the truth. So, just to summarise, and then we'll close off. 6 important things. God's word in Scripture is a living, powerful, practical force. When you read it, it's talking to you and your life. It will sustain you in your life, in your vocations, in the things that you need to face, and in the things that you need to do. 2, it is a unity of interconnected narratives and teaching that show you how much we need and how graciously we were granted God's salvation through Jesus Christ, his Son. 3, so the Bible is not a book like others, but God's wisdom above all other wisdom. It is not the things from below, it's the things from above. It's the heavenly things. And we need to pay attention to it. It's beyond human reason. It teaches us the way to eternal life. No other wisdom on this world can give you that. As we study it, therefore, we need to pray for God's Spirit, because we need his enlightenment and insight to see and discern what is beyond our reason and understanding. So the Spirit is the one who teaches us the truth. He brings to our remembrance everything Jesus taught. Number five, we need to stay with the words of the text, reading and repeating them so that the Spirit can meditate us and get the word to take root in us. And number six, what happens as we do this is that we learn something else that may not be pleasurable, but which is also very important for us to grow in maturity. The devil attacks those who study the word and tries to stop us doing so. But this blows back on him, because it shows us even more strongly that our only life and hope is in what the Bible shows us, that Jesus Christ is our Saviour and our Lord. So, six basic things from Luther on studying the Bible. Thank you.
Before we wrap up, are there any questions that anyone has here? All right, Dr. Peach and Coralie will be with us over at the picnic. So I need about 12 chairs. We don't need 30 chairs anymore, 40, 12 chairs. So if some of the more